Jesus, please bless us with your presence. Come in and sit down. We know that today is not going to be easy. We are after truth, exposure, and accountability. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable. June 10th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peter Show. My name is Stu. Our first guest today has to remain anonymous. And once you start to learn the details, you'll begin to understand why. Prior to 2015, David Frodsham was a top civilian official at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. But he was sent home after multiple complaints of sexual harassment. The officer that sent him home was emphatic. This man should not receive another post, but should instead be punished. But that recommendation was ignored. Instead, the Army just memory-holed his misconduct and let him rejoin the Network Enterprise Technology Command, which is the Army's big fancy name for their civilian IT department. Because the Army did nothing, Frodsham was free to immediately get back to his demonic and satanic perversions. In spring 2016, Frodsham was arrested in Arizona as the leader of a child sex ring. David Frodsham and his wife were allowed to adopt and then sexually abuse three children plus a whole raft of foster children in their home as well. Our upcoming guest was responsible for transporting one of the Frodsham's foster children, a young girl named Devaney. Devaney was taken from her birth mother because the mother was struggling with drug addiction at the time and a bad relationship with the girl's father. Although at the time Devaney was removed from her mother, she was clean. Whatever the case, Devaney's mother certainly wasn't sexually abusing her. But that's the exact situation that CPS proceeded to drop this helpless toddler into. And they knew exactly what they were doing. Devaney's mother got to see her daughter 2 hours a week for supervised visits. She had to take multiple buses to get to this location. These two-hour visits was enough time for her to discover that her daughter's repeated urinary tract infections were not normal, and she had never had them before. So Devaney's mom complained. But instead of investigating, state officials blamed the mother. Eventually, they completely severed her parental rights, justifying it by pointing towards Devaney's deteriorating personal behavior and severe temper tantrums when she was around her mom. But in reality, all of this was their fault. The infections, the temper tantrums, and the bad behavior were all byproducts of monstrous sexual abuse that Devaney was suffering at the hands of Frodsham. But in the end, Frodsham was only caught because he drove drunk with Devaney and other foster children in his car to drunkenly go and pick up his foster parenting check. Only then did anybody investigate at all and act to save these children from this abusive monster. And when they investigated Frodsham, police discovered homemade child pornography of an adult male penetrating a 3-year-old girl who in the video could be heard screaming for her mommy. Even after the sex abuse was exposed, Frodsham was only given a 17-year prison sentence instead of the bullet in the head that he deserved. And even after all of this, Devaney still wasn't given back to her mother, who, by the way, had been following a reunification plan and fighting like hell to get her daughter back. But no, instead, CPS handed her over to new monsters, Justin and Samantha Osteris. Soon, Samantha Osteris would torture Devaney by submerging her in scalding hot water that left her with severe burns on 80% of her little body. Devaney had to be placed in a medically induced coma. She lost her toes to amputation. She will be permanently disfigured and will require massive medical care for for the rest of her life. Remember, none of this was done by Devaney's mother. All of this was caused by the Arizona government, which passed around Devaney like an object to psychopaths and predators. And everything that we've just told you, they've tried their hardest to cover up. This ought to be one of the most infamous crimes in American history. It ought to be a national scandal requiring a total rethink of how we manage our foster care system. But instead, it's all been brushed away. But there's another dimension to this story, too. When we mentioned David Frodsham's arrest, we didn't say that he was arrested for child pornography or for ordinary sex abuse. He was arrested for operating a child sex trafficking ring. That means multiple people. According to other foster children in Frodsham's home, David passed around his children to other people. Some of them high-ranking people. And by the way, he was a foster parent for 15 years before he was arrested. So everybody should be asking, how deep does this story actually go? How many people were really involved? How many people besides David Frodsham deserve a bullet in the head? Nobody else will, so somebody needs to be asking these questions. So why not us? We're now joined by a very brave and courageous CPS anonymous whistleblower. Thank you so much for being here. So you saw these temper tantrums firsthand when Devaney was with her mother. What is it that you suppose was causing these temper tantrums?
She was very fearful of men, I will tell you that. She did not want to leave her parents. Every time I would pull up there, I've never known of the parents to be late or miss a visit. They were always there. They took two or three buses to get there. As soon as we pulled up and she saw her parents, I couldn't get her out of her car seat fast enough. She would grab her mama's neck, and I mean, they were just very bonded, the whole family, the mom, the dad, and Devaney. However, when the visit was over and I had to take her back to the Frodsham house, she would scream, kick, bite. She did not want to leave her mother. I eventually bought like a little DVD player and played movies, tried to get her distracted, and she became very comfortable with me, so I did become her driver probably 95% of the time. But I wasn't allowed to talk to the foster parents. The only thing, I had a very brief encounter with them. I would bring Devaney there, get a signature, and drop her off. That was it. There were no red flags for me other than her behavior, her just screaming. She was only 2.5 at the time, so she couldn't really articulate what was going on.
So when she would talk to you in the fragmented sentences that a young child that age can do, did she express to you that she was afraid of Frodsham?
No, she never was able to articulate anything. It was mostly just the behavior.
Who did the mom complain to about these urinary tract infections and other things?
The case manager, the visit supervisor. She even expressed it to me. I relayed that information to Barbara Frodsham. And I guess they finally did take her to the doctor, but it eventually got blamed on the mom for giving her too much juice at her 2-hour visit once a week, which is absolutely ridiculous.
When the cops investigated Frodsham, after he was driving drunk with these children, which in and of itself is horrific. Oh, but that would turn out to be the least of the crimes committed in the presence of these children. They discovered homemade child pornography of an adult male penetrating a three-year-old girl who was screaming for her mommy.
I believe that was Devaney. There was only one other toddler in that home at that age, a little girl, and that would have been David Frodsham's biological granddaughter.
He really does deserve a bullet in the head. So I have to ask you, this behavior wasn't just limited to Devaney. Obviously, there were multiple children. He was a foster parent for 15 years, participating in this horrific, satanic behavior sent directly from the hottest depths of hell. She has to suffer an amputation. She'll be permanently disfigured. She'll need medical care for the rest of her life as a result of this. This guy only got a 17-year prison sentence. But Devaney, and I'm assuming other children, were passed around to other psychopaths and predators. And so the question is, who were they passed around to? Who else is involved with this?
Well, that's a good question. That's what I've been wanting to know. And I find it sort of infuriating that all of a sudden, 2 months ago, an article comes out about how David Frodsham risked national security. Well, why weren't they thinking about that 6 years ago or 10 years ago?
Do you believe that there were other high-ranking military officials involved with this satanic perversion?
I believe that the oldest boy that aged out, the oldest adopted son, had stated that.
And this didn't spark an investigation of any kind?
Stu, when he was arrested for the DUI, he had two toddlers in his vehicle. He was going to the foster care office to pick up his foster care check, drunk, and the police were called. He was not in the vehicle when the police got there. They dropped the charges, the DUI charges, because the state could not prove that he was actually operating the vehicle. Now, they also did a plea deal with David Frodsham. There were multiple charges of child sex abuse against the toddlers. They did a plea deal with Frodsham. They dropped the charges on the toddlers. And so he only pled guilty to the two counts with the 16-year-old boy.
CPS knows that this is occurring, correct?
There were so many red flags. There were 38 police reports to David Frodsham's house. And one of the boys said that he specifically told his case manager at least 16 times that he was being abused. He ran away. They brought him back.
So is it an overstatement or hyperbolic in any way or any stretch of the imagination to say that CPS is complicit and willing and participating gleefully and joyfully in child sex trafficking?
Absolutely. I don't know if you saw an article a couple years ago, but the CPS workers here in Arizona decided to get some pink t-shirts that said professional kidnappers on them. There was a big article about it.
Because that's exactly what they are.
Exactly what they are, and they know it.
So they got these t-shirts as a joke?
I have no idea, but I don't find it funny at all.
They're joking around about taking little toddlers like Devaney and putting her into situations where she's penetrated and raped by what I would assume to be high-ranking military officials. And the state of Arizona not only is covering it up, but participating in this because it's a racket and it generates millions and millions of dollars.
Exactly. And, you know, CPS gets Title IV-E funding. So every year they have to do a projection of how many kids they have in care this year. So they got to go round up more kids for the next year to get their funding.
Where's Devaney now?
She has been adopted out again.
And when mom lost all of her parental rights, does that mean that she can't know where Devani is or ever see her again?
When she was in the hospital after being scalded by Samantha Osteros, her mother went to the hospital. She just wanted to be there for her daughter, to speak into her ear, and they denied her access to her daughter.
So these people, mom and dad, despite their problems in the relationship, but specifically mom, would get on two separate buses to get to these two-hour supervised visits. Devani would scream and cry and bite and kick because she wanted to stay with her mother.
Yes.
Her mother made her way to the hospital because she wanted to hold her daughter. Mom sounds like she wanted to do anything that she possibly could to reunify with Devani.
She did. She actually obtained an attorney, and that attorney waited the time limit for the time to run out and then said, there's nothing I can do.
This is absolutely horrific. Do you think that this is limited to Devani in Arizona, or is this story being repeated over and over again across our country every single day?
Oh, every single day, every single minute. Arizona, I became an advocate after this, and I've done a lot of research. There's horrendous cases. I mean, just things that would blow your mind. One foster family putting a dead child up in their attic for 2 years. I mean, who comes to check on these children? No one.
This David Frodsham and this entire... David Frodsham needs to be executed. And anybody else that participated in this, 17 years, what a joke. What a travesty. What a sick, perverted joke. Straight from hell is what that is. And everybody else... The CPS organization needs to be abolished completely. And everybody that was involved with any of this should be criminally prosecuted. And good on you for becoming an advocate and for speaking out. It takes a lot of bravery and a lot of courage because people disappear when they start talking about CPS. People lose their lives and disappear.
Or their own children.
Well, we will not be afraid here.
I like to call it judicial deception. That's exactly what DCS does when they go in the courts. They write their narrative, they give it to the judge, and they are the only... source that the courts listen to. There's no exculpatory evidence allowed. These parents are not given due process. Their children are taken away from them, and then they go into a database of being a child abuser, and then they adopt their kids out with no cause, no due process.
And they're just trafficked into this system of satanic sex abuse and being passed around and tortured and scalded and burned and sacrificed and murdered. And it's real. And you're a first person.
If you're lucky enough to get your child back, that child's so damaged.
It's real. Just as we suspected. Thank you so much for your bravery and coming forward. And if there are other CPS workers there that want to remain anonymous, we will, of course, protect your anonymity. This needs to be exposed every single day, every single corner of the earth, every single ear, every single eye needs to be opened and hear this information. And this CPS organization needs to be abolished, and these people need to be tried, and they need to be executed when they're found guilty of the crimes that they are committing against our children. Go nowhere. The Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. All right, for a couple of weeks, I've been taking brain supplements. These are to help with focus and clarity, to get rid of brain fog, if that's something that you've been suffering with long COVID or with the shedding that's going on. Also, added aggression on demand dominance, just overall brain dominance. This is something that you need. Go to dominanceondemand.com right now, dominanceondemand.com. I'm serious. If you didn't know anything about brain supplements, neither did I, you have to check these things out right now. I'm dead serious. You will love it. You will thank me later. I promise. Go to dominanceondemand.com right now and check out the non-addictive, totally safe, and 100% legal brain supplements from Newtopia. Dominanceondemand.com. Make sure that you mention Stu Peters when you go to dominanceondemand.com. Well, I'm sure you've been watching the big Hollywood movie production, the fake and fraudulent January 6th committee that just singled out Peter Navarro to try and send him to prison for standing with the president, for telling Donald Trump how to challenge the certification of the fraudulent 2020 election. But really, Navarro is just joining a long list of dozens of people already facing years in prison for political thought crime. In Michigan, gubernatorial candidate Ryan Kelly just got arrested for standing on a stone fixture and waving his arms toward the Capitol building. That offense makes him guilty of insurrection, apparently. Trennis Evans is another one of the January 6th political persecutioners. He's been criminally charged for allegedly wandering into Nancy Pelosi's office and drinking whiskey there. That's what the media tells us. If true, based. One of his supposed friends reported him to the police for this monumental offense against the sacred dignity of our democracy, or whatever they're calling it these days. What a sick joke. The people who opened our borders, the people who shredded personal privacy, who handed our foreign policy over to foreigners, the people who handed our cities over to violent mobs, lecturing us about undermining democracy. Over the past year and a half, Trennis Evans has been a firsthand witness to the excesses and abuses of power from our Congress and from our Supreme Court, including, by the way, those who were supposed to be on our side. But he says that he's also developed an understanding about what we really have to do to fight back against all of this. Trennis Evans joins us now. Trennis, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on, Stu. I tell you that first of all, you know, the media is not our friend when it's coming from the left and coming from the mainstream media, the fictitious lies and what have you. I was never in a personal office that got picked up by the media. I don't know where that came from. I was certainly drinking the cheap cinnamon fireball whiskey throughout the day. It started about 9 o'clock in the morning, but it had nothing to do with the events of being inside. It just, I happened to have a swig of it while I was there. And of course, that's what the media picked up on. And that was the important part for them. Not the fact that I stood over and over, I think 37 times we've counted, that I was saying, do not harm the police. Do not damage the building. It must be a peaceful protest. Stay within yourselves. Do not do things like that. This is your house and you wouldn't do that at your neighbor's house. So repeatedly, I made these statements. But the one thing I did is drink a shot of whiskey, not in Nancy Pelosi's personal office. I was never in anyone's personal office. But yet that's what the media runs with.
So you were standing there and you were telling people to be peaceful and patriotic, just as President Trump told people to go and make their voices heard and be peaceful and patriotic. This is sedition now. This is a insurrection. The biggest lie on the face of the planet is this thing that was set up by the feds. How frustrating is this for you?
Well, you know, I often try not to think about myself. I think more about the people that are detained and what they've gone through. For me, obviously, it is frustrating, but really the real people that are being 400 plus days detained, think about it. I mean, these people have missed two birthdays, they've missed two graduations, they've missed two summers with their family. And, you know, I always ask America, are you going to allow this to be two Christmases? Are you going to stand up and say something? And I'm, you know, watching this sham trial, the nonsensical documentary last night was heartbreaking because I didn't even get to watch it. People were telling me about it as I was driving to Florida for this Rock the Red event. And I find out that there's so many lies in it. They're like, oh, they're running down the timeline for me, Stu. And they said, well, we're at 224. You just came on. I was like, 224? And well, what am I doing? And they said, well, you're reading this thing on the Capitol steps about something about what President Trump said, I think, that you told me. And I said, that didn't happen at 224. So I've actually got to watch it for the first time today. It's an absolute lie. This happened at 4:10 p.m. You can plainly see this. I mean, it's been documented all over the place. You can find it in DOJ documents, but yet they run it as 224. So which is it? Are the DOJ documents incorrect for the charging stuff, or are they incorrect in their documentary? So
Trennis, where the hell is everybody? Where are these elected representatives, these so-called firebrands, these America First congressional representatives and senators? Where the hell are they?
Hey, Stu, you know, I don't know where they are, but I know that I can tell you that we're going to get action in a top-down way, and I can't talk about who it's coming from specifically, but I can tell you in the next 30 to 60 days, you're going to see open court coming back the other way against this mess and this disaster. You're going to see public trials on TV. that you will be watching in the next 30 to 60 days. So people like me, I can kind of rejoice in that solace. I know what's coming. There's very few people in America that are aware of what's coming on that. It has nothing to do with me personally, but I will, just as all January 6th defendants, be affected by what comes out of that. And they will be very grateful, as I know that I'm anticipation of that coming.
Okay, this isn't some like entertainment news. This isn't like real raw news, right? I mean, this is for real. This is actually going to happen.
Yeah, this is really going to happen. You're going to see public trials.
Respectfully, we've heard a lot of nothing can stop what's coming and trust the plan and the military's in control. And if the military's in control right now, they should all face treason charges, actually. Because this is what control is, get out of here.
Yeah, so it's control, all right. The left's in control. There's no question about that. I'm not a QAnon guy. I'm not into this kind of stuff. I mean, I was on the phone with the lawyers that are running this thing that will be coming. I had that first word of it this morning. It was the very first time I've ever heard of it. I was so grateful to hear it. I will tell you that, I could tell you off air and you'll trust the source after that, but I just can't display what I know. And I didn't come on today to talk about that. It's just something that happenstance. What happened last night, we had a plan for what we were going to talk about here, about the legal action, the attorney generals, and what could be done about this. But this is new information that came to me last night with the documentary. And then this morning, the call I made, they said, don't worry about it. I'm telling you, here's the deal. Here's what's coming down. And you can't talk about the details, but you can kind of let some of this out. So that was what I've been given permission to say. I will say, you get out here and you get on the speaking tours and you get out and around some things. And as I've been doing it for over a year, trying to bring truth to January 6th, information starts to come your way. So it is a little bit refreshing. So I guess it's easier for me probably than so much of America that's going through this. And I wish I could give them that. But the best hope that they have right now, I think, is the attorney general matter. As we've seen, the federal government has exercised plenary power that it does not possess. It was never given these powers. The states have the power. We see from the Peppermint Patty and Joe Biden administration, the alleged administration, I guess we should call it, that they believe that the federal government is supreme and it runs everything. That's how they see it. And they don't recognize the real supremacy clause is the Constitution. It says it's the supreme law of land, not the federal government. In the Constitution, as you know, the states have the power. So when the states have the power, it falls back to we the people. And what we see here is the federal government has overstepped its boundaries, usurped state sovereignty, and continued to objectify these people and submit them to this humiliating, ridiculous behavior of January 6th and what's going on here for many of the people. And I always say this, be clear. I went into that building that day. I shouldn't, as far as that goes, you cross that invisible barrier, you went into the visible barrier of a building. That's a crime, in the criminal justice system. Okay, I'm prepared to face the consequences of the trespassing or what have you. Fine, so be it. But when they come at you with this felony obstruction of Congress and all these other trumped up charges, it's really disgusting. That's what America's experienced. I mean, FBI raids. I mean, the FBI raided my home for a guy. Now, I'm so dangerous that they had to bring a SWAT team for me on March the 4th. But on January 17th, they sent two unarmed or in plainclothes officers to speak with me. We had a nice conversation in my front porch. I told them, under normal circumstances and under a reasonable administration, I'd be inviting you in for a cup of tea or coffee. We'd sit down, we'd talk about this. I'd say, hey, look, I didn't take part in any violence. I never stole anything. I never defaced anything. And I spoke out on behalf of the police repeatedly. And I would be happy to show you those videos. Under this administration and the lunacy, and we had it right. I need to have an attorney present when we talk to you because of this. I have nothing to hide. I walked into that building. I stood for the police. I stood for the sanctity of the Capitol. And, you mentioned earlier sanctuary. This is what I find so bothering. So the idea of the place is a sanctuary. It is our hallowed halls of the ideology of our Congress and what we are as a country. These people are so far removed from that reality that it's only just a memory under this administration and this Congress. This isn't real. This is fairy tale land. These people aren't supposed to be there. They're the occupants, the belligerent occupants of those buildings, the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and the Congress. I mean, that's
allegedly. I mean, I don't even know if they're there. There's a movie set up all over the place where this guy broadcasts his dictatorial mandates from that he hears from Obama and Soros and the likes of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and Klaus Schwab and foreign adversaries to this country. There's a Marxist coup that took place here. I don't even believe that Joe Biden or Obama actually at this point even really know who's actually in power. But you mentioned this thing that's going to happen, and that does sound great. But I'm going to operate under the premise of what we do know is where we are and the things that we've been promised that have not come to fruition and how the Supreme Court has repeatedly refused to hear anything regarding this stolen election and the coup that overtook our country for the ushering in of full communism. Let's operate under that premise. Now, you said prior to that, when we were talking and discussing about what you were going to talk about here, is that after witnessing these excesses and abuses of power by the Supreme Court and the people who are supposed to be there for us, even those who are supposed to be on our side, you have a way that you think that you can fight back against all of this. And I'd like for you to tell my viewers that.
Yeah, so let me explain this to you. So like I said, the federal government, the FBI, usurp state sovereignty and use plenary power that they don't have and to do these things. So what happens is when they entered into the states and they arrested people, they didn't have the authority to do that. The way that's supposed to work is they should have, these people should have seen a magistrate of their state and been released into federal custody. Because state power was usurped and then violated, and it's a violation of their clear due process rights, what should be happening now is an attorney general, and we're looking at filing writs of mandamus, whatever we're going to have to do to go forward with this. They took an oath of office. That's a contract. The contract that they took when they took their oath of office, they put their hand on the Bible. They swore to we the people. They swore to God. That was a three-party contract between them, God, and the people. They failed their oath of office when they allowed the FBI to come kicking in doors in their state. The Supreme Court has heard this matter of state sovereignty dozens of times over hundreds of years, and it's upheld it every single time. All this would take is one attorney general to say enough's enough. We can't do this anymore. We have to put a stop to this, and we must defend our people. If the one attorney general would file, they just like the election matter, they would be at the attorney, they would be at the Supreme Court in 28 days. In that 28 days, then they would be heard and they can say, you know, hey, you, the FBI is violating, they're operating outside their lane, the federal government's overstepping, and we demand this stop. The Supreme Court will uphold this, or they're going to have to say that the states are no longer sovereign. It's either one or the other, and that's it. It's point blank, cut and dried, you know, black and white. So when they uphold this, then it, so imagine this, they uphold this, then that ruling falls to the lower courts, would be these U.S. district courts. These people are going to be sent home from the federal jails and the prisons, and they're going to also, the people that are charged, these charges will have to go away. They're dropped at that point because they're unlawful. That is all we need. One attorney general.
So if the Supreme Court hasn't been listening, and if district attorneys haven't been listening, and if Congress and the Senate haven't been listening, how do you compel one attorney general to do what's right?
Well, here's the problem we've had. You know, I put billboards up in Times Square about Ken Paxton and asking if he would stand for us. We've talked to Ashley Moody. We have state's attorneys. We have down in Florida, we have state's attorneys and state congresswomen that are engaged in this currently. This is all rather new in the last couple of weeks. So it's moving along nicely. I would like, of course, I'd like to say, hey, here's the law here. We're going to do this. But as you know, in politics, it's not how things work. It takes time. So we're looking at Jason Mayaris. He's kind of been a firebrand of an attorney general up in Virginia. And he's not up for election until 2026. The unfortunate part of this is the people that are suffering and people that are dying, people are taking their lives over this January 6th nonsense. What's happening is people like Jason Mayaris don't have an election until 2026. He wants to be a governor. You want to be a firebrand. You want to make a name for yourself. Here's your answer, brother. Stand up for the people of the United States against an overreaching federal government, Nancy Pelosi and her henchmen of the FBI and the DOJ, and do something about it. You have the right. You have the ability. More for you took an oath. Come on, let's go. It's time.
Yeah, it is.
Don't you think? I mean, haven't we
had 100%.
We're in January 6th.
And this is what we've been telling people for the longest time. We are a constitutional republic of states, and the states have the control, and each state has its own constitution, and every state's constitution applies to everybody in the land under the common law, because we are all men who are created equal in this country,
allegedly.
Which means that if you have, this is the way that our country was founded. And it's not allegedly. These are inherent, God-given, inalienable rights. So no, not allegedly. Allegedly, people think that they can take them away, which is absolutely something that they cannot do. Hang out with me, because after we get off the air, I want to hear who your source is here on this other information, because I'm praying that this is not more hopium. Trennis Evans, thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it. More of the Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere. In Jesus' name, we are going to see a free America. Our children are going to have the freedoms and the breadth of protection and the individual liberty that they were promised when they were naturally born as United States citizens here in America. That's going to happen. But in the interim, I know another thing that's going to happen. Imminent tax hikes, hyperinflation, and government theft. They're going to come after your money right now. They're going to come and try to incapacitate you and make you vulnerable and make you paralyzed in fear and leave you without money. So all of that money that you've worked hard to earn and even harder to save, whether you have it in your 401k, your IRA, or in a savings account, it's at imminent risk. Protect that money with physical gold and silver right now. Call my good friends at Gold Co., 855-706-GOLD. Call 855-706-GOLD and get up to $10,000 in free silver with a qualified account just for calling. Call my good friends over at Gold Co. who've already helped thousands of people to protect their retirement savings against government theft and tax increases and hyperinflation. Call the number right now, 855-706-GOLD. Again, that's 855-706-GOLD.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up and they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids? No. Mask mandates for little Mikey? Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Resist. Go to vaccine-police.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccine-police.com.
Brandi Brassel is with a group called Warrior Bride Ministries. This ministry focuses on saving and rehabilitating young girls from human trafficking and ritual satanic abuse. Brandi herself was born and raised in Atlanta. She suffered sexual abuse as a child. As a result, she spent many years struggling with drug addiction and worked in the strip clubs of the Fulton Industrial Boulevard neighborhood. Well, in 2008, God said, "That's enough," and he delivered her from addiction, and she began her journey of recovery. Praise Jesus. Since then, she's dedicated much of her life to ministry work herself. She's returned to the Fulton Industrial Neighborhood at one point to minister to the sex workers there. She's also conducted rescues alongside of her husband with a group called Out of the Darkness. But eventually, she ended up with Warrior Bride Ministries. Warrior Bride offers something that the police and other rescue and rehab organizations cannot and do not, and quite frankly, will not. Their work at Warrior Bride focuses on helping people to build a relationship with Jesus Christ, so that they can be born again as a new person. Brandi herself says that it's an honor that God has entrusted her with some of his most fragile children. She's also had plenty of interactions with Child Protective Services, the trafficking operation in the neighboring state of South Carolina. She has seen firsthand how much damage CPS can cause, up close and personal. And she's ready to share that story with us too. Brandi Brassel joins us now. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, I mean, your testimony is amazing. And this is living proof, you are, that God not only will deliver the most entrapped, enslaved, addicted people living in the worst situations of their life, but then use that person to change the lives of others and lead them to him. It's an amazing testimony. It's awesome.
It's only God. It's full circle after full circle. So I was running around Fulton Industrial area, selling drugs and in the strip clubs and hanging out. And then when I actually joined this fight against anti-human trafficking, that's where he sent me back to, as the light in the darkness, that where I once was part of that darkness. And that's when I started working with the prostitutes and doing the rescues. And at that time, that was 11, 12 years ago, I just kept screaming, "What now? Like, once you rescue them, what now?" They're not able to just change a life. You have to give them a new norm. You have to teach them a new normal, because that their normal is not what we quote unquote call normal. And so for 11 years, I've been screaming, "What now? What do we do now? How do we help them now? Because we've rescued them, but we can't just put them in a house. We can't just put them in a normal job. They need more." And so when I was able to come along with Warrior Bride, and we take, you know, a total approach to rehabilitation, we look at it from all aspects, the physical, the spiritual, and the emotional, and we give them that new normal. We give them the tools so that they can handle stressful situations and not be triggered and run and hurt themselves. We give them the spiritual freedom that God paid, you know, sent his son to pay for. And then we take a physical approach, because most of them don't eat right. They don't know how to cook. So we teach them how to cook. We teach them how to eat healthy and how to, you know, physically take care of their body that has been abused and neglected for so long.
And so that ultimately, if they have children, they can take care of them, and you work with children as well. We just heard a horrific story from a CPS transporter about a young girl called Devani. I mean, I don't think that I've ever heard a story like that. This is a common occurrence. I mean, people think that this is just a one-off. Wow, that's a horrible story. I'm really glad that Stu was able to tell us about that and bring it to light. No, no, no. This is a common occurrence, isn't it?
It is. It was probably one of the most shocking facts that I've learned in this is that Child Protective Services is and foster care system is a main supplier for children that are abused and neglected and, you know, trafficked and everything else. We've got one of our first residential clients that we brought in was out of Anderson, South Carolina, and had been trafficked through that system. She was 4 years old when it began, and she ran at 18, and that's when we got her. And I can remember, this is before we had volunteers working with our clients and our, you know, survivors. And so there was very few of us, so our board was hands-on involved. And I sat and had a conversation with one of our board members who sat with this little girl. She's 18 years old, and she didn't even know how to wash her hair. Like, she had to put her in the shower and walk her through the steps of like washing your body and washing your hair. And she didn't even know how.
This is as a result of abuse and neglect by the powers that be that people are raised to be taught to trust. There's a lot of examples of that. People in white lab coats, doctors, you just assume that they have your best interests in mind. People that you elect and send to represent you as, you know, one of the citizens of their state jurisdiction, this country, for example. Police officers, these are people that you're supposed to trust. Child Protective Services, well, of course, they're just protecting children, and then they end up in these satanic ritual abuse situations. Is satanic ritual abuse a common occurrence with these trafficking victims that you've worked with?
A lot of our clients are, absolutely, survivors of ritual abuse, and majority of them. And not all of them have come through the, you know, the foster care system, but they are survivors of satanic ritual abuse and been trafficked.
So how do you identify this? I mean, this person comes through the door and you say, this is a victim of satanic ritual abuse.
So again, we try to introduce them to Yeshua and bring them to the Lord and Christ. And immediately they're triggered. Either by Bible verses, they're triggered by the Lord's Prayer, they're triggered by communion. They, you know, can't do it, like physically triggered or run, and they will not participate, or they'll even tell you that, no, they don't want nothing to do with Christ because that he's bad, he's mean. They've, you know, used Christ against these children.
So this will start in the church?
I would. That's a tricky question. A lot of them wear that facade of Christ and Christianity, and they're not. So these people can be sitting beside you in church. Absolutely. A lot of them, you know, I've read several books with testimonies of people that were good Christian people that were sitting, you know, in your church, but on the dark side, that was their front so that they wouldn't, their evil wouldn't be exposed.
Wow. What about their stories? I mean, do a lot of them share similar stories?
Yes. Every story is specific to each person and their background. And so you have different levels into, you know, the ritual abuse and the higher ups and whatnot. But a lot of the stories are the same. I mean, it's horrible what these children have been through from just the sexual abuse, the bloodshed, the children sacrificed. I mean, they're all similar, and they're all from the ones that I've worked with are from all over the country, different parts and different places. And they're so similar that they can't be made up, that they can't, I mean, it just because of the similarities, but the difference in places and, you know, socioeconomics and stuff.
People don't really understand, normies, I guess, if you will, people that just live their everyday life, people that go to work, they come home, They hustle and bustle to get supper on the table for their kids that they love and that they care for. They bring them to piano lessons or soccer practice or hockey or go to church or do whatever it is that they're doing to go to a ball game. This is the, quote, normal life, right, of the majority of Americans, or the thing that we are raised. This is the way that we are raised to believe that life is supposed to be lived. And then you grow up after you get your high school diploma, you're supposed to go to college or trade school, you get your degree, you get into the workforce, you get into your trade, you climb the corporate ladder, you go to church every Sunday. You know, this is the normal life, right? But for these kids, they will never see that normal ever in their life as a result of what they have been through in their childhood. And this is not a platform that censors the truth. We want to know about the truth. So before we white pill people and tell them this can be dealt with, other than Devani and her story, tell people, really, what do these kids go through? What do they see before they come to you at Warrior Bride?
I've had them tell me that they've watched as their children were sacrificed.
Excuse me? Okay, say that again. I want people to understand what you just said.
I have had clients sit in front of me and tell me that they watched as their children were sacrificed moments after being born.
Killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've had children that at 8 years old were sold and raped repeatedly, gang raped. By even their family members. You know, I was one of those people, that the normal life, and it was devastatingly shocking when I realized the truth of what was really going on. You know, everybody hears about the conspiracy theories and whatever. But when you start meeting people, multiple people from different places around the country that are telling you the same thing, you can't just sit there. You can't just not do something. Everybody can be involved in this, whether it's hands-on, whether it's financing, whether you work with survivors or you do the rescues. There's different places. And even through my life, I've been in different places. I was out ministering to them on the streets. I was doing rescues. And now I'm part of the rehabilitation part that I've been screaming for 11 years needed to take place.
So does that happen? I mean, you went through this. You personally went through this. You have a firsthand testimony. So you're not just some talking head, right? No. So I got to ask you, when you were involved in this, when you were going through what you now recognize as horror, did you know then that it was horrific? Or was this just what you knew to be normal?
When I was running around on the street selling drugs and stuff, I knew that I was doing wrong. I was raised in a Christian home, but I had left an abusive relationship where he threatened to kill me and finally convinced me that I was going and that he would, and that he was capable of that. And that's when I turned to drugs. And that's when I got out in the streets and running around in the strip clubs. And even in that, I didn't realize the depths of what was taking place. Of, you know, children being trafficked. I didn't learn about that until many years later. And that's when I got involved, because when you realize the atrocity that is happening, you can't sit there and not do something. If you are, you are not a decent human being.
So do you feel, would you consider yourself to be healed?
I think healing is a journey. And we're all somewhere in the process. I am much more healed than I have ever been, but I am not perfect. And this side of the new, you know, being with Christ, I will never be completely healed and perfect, but I believe that I walk in healing.
The women that you spoke of that watched their children get sacrificed, these people that are intentionally drugged, overdosed, street drugs, raped repeatedly, sold, trafficked, passed around, ultimately murdered, killed.
Right.
The mothers that watch their kids get sacrificed, the people that grow up going through this. They were in the trafficking system as victims being passed around and somehow didn't die and find Warrior Bride or a ministry like it or find Jesus Christ. Do they ever heal from this?
Absolutely. Our Creator can heal anyone. I fully believe that. And I've watched as, and again, like I said, I'm in a journey of healing like we all are. And theirs is a journey. Their journey may be longer or may be bumpier or whatever, but they are all in a journey of healing. And absolutely, I believe 100% that they can be made whole and healed. Absolutely. You know, you said mothers, and I don't want people to have the wrong idea, because when you generally think of a mother, you think of an adult. And these were absolutely the mothers of children that they watched be sacrificed. But we're talking about 11 and 12-year-old children mothers. I think that that's important to understand, because when you just say mother, it's an automatic thought, like you think a grown a woman as a mother. But these are children that are having babies that are watching this happen.
So many emotions that I feel when you just said that. As a father, you know,
right,
who has a little daughter that's the apple of my eye.
Right. But, you know, on my shirt, I'm wearing one of our shirts, and it says, I won't be quiet so you can be comfortable. And it's time for us to stop being politically correct and comfortable and being saying the things the right way and covering up the truth and sugarcoating it and quit beating around the bush. This is a problem, and we need to make efforts to stop it. We've got to get active in stopping it. But then even in that, we, you know, like we do, we rehabilitate these girls. We bring them in and we show them what family life is like, because we believe that every person and every child deserves a forever family, not an adopted, like, this is your temporary, you're going to be here, like a forever family. And that's one of our goals, is, you know, to have a forever home and a forever family, because every one of these children deserve freedom. And a lot of times, you know, we think, oh, we've rescued them and they're free, but they're still emotionally and mentally bound and captive. And that's our part. That's what we work on. You know, that's our section of this, you know, fight, is helping them find freedom after they're free.
Yeah, because just going to a playground or a swimming pool or a water park or out for the day, that's not freedom. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally free is something that these kids deserve, and that's what Warrior Bride does. How do people support Warrior Bride Ministries? Because this is so much more important than supporting a political candidate, let me tell you. I mean, these are God's kids, so please support this ministry. How do people do it?
Online, our website is warriorbrideministries.org, and there's a donate button. We are fully funded by private donations. We don't receive any government assistance or help. So it's all donation based.
Please support this ministry. I will not be quiet so that you can be comfortable. This is what I scream from this studio every day while people say, oh, he's being hyperbolic. No, these are the things that people don't understand when they're going to soccer practice and piano lessons and hockey and going out for picnics, okay? Enjoy your life, but help others to do it as well. Imagine being in that situation yourself. You're an amazing person and a real testimony, a first person living and breathing testament to how powerful Jesus Christ is and how he saves. Amazing stuff. Brandi Brassel, God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you.
When you go to warriorbrideministries.com and you give whatever you can, whether it's the dollar that you can find in your couch cushions or whether it is $1 million because you have been blessed financially yourself, which I'm sure Warrior Bride would take your $1 million if you have it. Unequivocally, no questions asked. So I'm talking to you rich people that are very comfortable. This is it. And when Brandi just told us these kids do heal, imagine that. An 11 or 12 year old girl, this is a child giving birth to a child. This is supposed to be one of the most sanctimonious things in a person's life, childbirth. For normal people, that's what this is. You grow up and you go through life and you get married and you have children and you raise them and you love them more than anything in the world, and it is sacred because they are your seed, they are your blood. These 11 and 12-year-old girls are having kids outside of that experience and then watching them be sacrificed, murdered, just minutes after birth. Now imagine being healed from something like that. If that's possible, and I believe that it is, nobody can deny God or the power of Jesus Christ. He truly does save. What an awesome thing. Warrior Bride Ministries. Unbelievable. Amazing. Go to warriorbrideministries.com right now and give whatever you can. Warriorbrideministries.com. The Stu Peters Show continues in 60 seconds. Go nowhere.
The food supply is in peril. War has wiped out grain stores. Mysterious fires have consumed dozens of processing plants. And the Biden junta is paying farmers not to grow.
We could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages.
But there's hope from heaven. Heavensharvest.com.
That stuff is perfect. It's 25-year shelf life. You can buy it, stick it in your closet, and forget about it.
Christian-owned, kingdom-operated, is ready to help your family prepare for famine, pestilence, and another pandemic. Join Heaven's Harvest Food Club today and enjoy the benefits of a stockpile in peace of mind. No cost. Free shipping. Cancel anytime. Preparation on demand. Water filters, seeds, and vacuum-sealed buckets of grub. Call today for 1 month's supply of food for less than the cost of a daily meal. Or fill your stores for a whole year with food that lasts. Don't wait. Prepare for the devil's worst. HeavensHarvest.com, your angel investor for enduring the end times.